WLTI in Cincinnati will not be heard at this time, so that we may discuss some turkeys that won't fly.
Hey, 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 Chico Alexander here. And after a show that was unlike any other that we did over the past couple of weeks, I'm thinking to myself, how the hell are we going to follow that up? Luckily, Jason Block is here, and as terminally online as he is, he always is good for an idea or two.
Right now our third is making money for the company right now. So we have to start, and believe me, we partied pretty hard after episode 500. That was insane. Anyway, we have a wild weekend, Big Brother, potentially not so good level questions on Millionaire. I have good questions on Wheel of Fortune and a return of a legend. Talk about that in a minute because, Chico.
From somewhere in America, WLTI is on. Let's go.
Let's do it. On our way to 600, but let's do it with the first one. That's episode 501 here on WLTI at 5-1. My name is Jason Block, as we said before. Our good friend Gordon Pepper is out making money for the company. And one thing we just forgot to talk about is that in our act, we've got a lot of talent to talk about.
We do have a lot of talent to talk about. We're so fully booked with talent, we're devoting Act 3 to it. Something to listen for later on in the podcast, but right now, here's...
No. You gotta say it and hit the cue, but first...
Oh, I see what you did there.
Previously on Big Brother!
And oh boy! Okay, so what happens is that after Adrian's eviction of 8-4, we have the fact that Ava pulled Vincent Stack into the storage room, Adrian to vote to keep Will, and the votes aren't there, and they changed and vote to eat Vic Adrian. In the Killer Carnival household competition, house guests began in teams of four, okay? Kelly goes to round two because she hasn't been selected for a team. And then, of course, we've seen this before in many different ways. Each team selected one member to go across balance beams and press four buttons in the fastest time. Keanu wins round one, and then we go down to teams of three, teams of two, teams of one. And what happens is that Riley becomes head of household. But wait! Riley is rumored to nominate Ashley, Mickey, and Morgan. Mickey is going, "You in danger, girl." And then...
So Mickey activates her HOH interrogation power. Riley incorrectly guesses that Ashley holds said power.
And... Wrong.
Nope. Guess who's the new HOH? Mickey. Yay.
So she... Okay, Riley is pissed. He's real pissed.
She mad. Okay. She big mad.
Okay, so then Mickey nominate... And again, the third freaking week in a while in a row, I almost said it. Mickey nominates Keanu, Kelly, and Riley. Really?
Stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to happen. Okay. So we have Keanu, Kelly, Riley, Mickey, and Morgan and Rachel in the Power Veto competition called Flee the Scene. House guests have to cross a bridge by stepping on one or two tiles that would highlight red or green. Stepping on
Mr. Beast did this better.
No.
We also
You know who did this better? Nickelodeon with Brain Surge. Just saying.
And also the fact that this was done last year, if I remember correctly, too. Yet again, the third week in a row, Keanu saves his behind, winning Vito. And then Mickey nominates Jimmy?
Okay.
What? Kind of deserved it, really.
Kind of, sort of. How did Jimmy kind of, sort of deserve it?
He was playing all sides against the middle for moment one.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Okay, so.
Okay.
Obviously.
So what happened
Vince,
is,
everyone thought
Will, Richard, and Ava were expecting Vince to be on the block.
Yeah, but they didn't expect Vince to sort of deflect to Jimmy. So there's
then
that.
They did a Save Crackers blockbuster, which is a variation of the ball maze we've seen on Survivor. Okay.
Yep.
And you had to put it in the, what was it, the 30, 60, and the 85, I believe it was, or 30, 50, 85?
Yeah, the 30, it was the 30, the 50, the 85. Riley does it first. Riley's safe. So, by a vote of 9-2, Jimmy is going to the WLTI Losers Lounge Couch! Yes, it's the WLTI Losers Lounge Couch, where you'll have comfortable seating, remote control freedom, Sabrina Carpenter's soft-ass cushions.
Hell yeah!
If you ever see her live show, you know. Your cup holders, your very own cubby hole, and an e-reader preloaded with a copy of Keep It Shut, What to Say, How to Say It, and When to Say Nothing at All by Karen
Amen.
Amen. As well as the Club Gordon Banger of the Week, Moonfu. Shut Up by Moonfu. You want snacks? We got snacks. We got Goobers, Raisinets, Pretzels, Oreos, Spree's, Chewy Spree's, Hot Cheetos and Takis, Chilled Reese's Cups, Cheez-Its, Pizza Pringles, Moon Pies, Funyuns, Fun Dip, Garrett Chicago-style
popcorn.
If you're thirsty, we have the drink that'll cure your little loser thirst. We have Coke, Diet Coke, Coke Zero, Sprite, Snapple, Lotion Spray, Ruby Red, Dr. Pepper, Simply Orange, Simply Cranberry, Tang, Red Kool-Aid, Sunny D, Purple Stuff, Purple Drink. Big Sips,
Purple Punch.
And the number one snack combination of the WLTI Losers Lounge Couch, Krispy Kreme Classic Glazed Donuts and Izzy Soft Drinks. And the number one rule of the WLTI Losers Lounge Couch, you can sleep on it, you can hog the cushions, but you do not hog the Krispy Kremes and Izzy Soda. Y'all don't come back now. Here. But we are not done! We are not done! Because something happened on live television in 4K that is, I swear to God, has never happened on Big Brother ever!
Is this true? This has never happened before?
Did the research. This has never happened before!
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
That's dumb.
You're so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Okay.
The rules of Big Brother State, book says so. Once you record a vote, it is final and binding. So, after Rachel cast her vote to evict Kelly, Rachel and Ashley cross paths in the hallway that leads to the diary room. There's a bit of chicanery going on, more than the usual, hi, how you doing, what's up, high five, fist bump, something else. They're talking about something. Of course, we don't hear what they're talking about because Julie's talking. We're waiting to see if Ashley's ever going to get into the diary room. Ashley ultimately does get to the diary room. She takes a long time to think about her vote. Like, a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
Ashley votes to evict Kelly. And then, after the next person votes, or perhaps before, she runs back into the diary room and says, no, wait.
I changed my vote. Julie just said, no.
You can't do that. That's against the rules. Oh my god! Yeah, we had something planned for our You Smarter Than, but that's basically your 11th hour clubhouse winner right there. Oh, jeez. I don't know if this is going to affect the next week. I guess we'll find out when Unlocked airs tomorrow night.
Right, and by the way, it's going to be Jerry O'Connell who's the guest. Duh. Please.
Football, 1986.
The 1986 was when he was in Stand By Me.
Yeah. I'm surprised they don't have a flying... I'm surprised they didn't have a flying boy, because you know he was in My Secret Identity for 3 seasons.
No one cared about that.
Nobody cares! Okay, moving on.
Mm.
All right. So, now that that week's out of the way, let's talk about something making a grand and glorious return to our airwaves, and that is Season 21 of Project Runway with Heidi Klum.
With Christian Siriano moving from the host to the mentor stop again.
Yes.
No Tim Gunn this time around. Who are the judges? And I have the judges. We have Nina Garcia,
and Law Roach,
and Law Roach, which I believe he's been a judge on Drag Race a few times.
Yes, he has. And
the winner receives $200,000 mentorship with the CFDA, a representation for 6 months, and a spread in the American edition of Elle magazine.
Yes. And Nina Garcia is returning. Law Roach is joining alongside. And guest judges for this season include Sarah Foster, Sofia Vergara, Tyra Banks, Nikki Glaser, Jenna Lyons, Kristen Cowan, Joan Smalls, Zach Posen, Mickey Guyton, Harris Reed, and Michael Kors. No strangers to the Project Runway family in the bunch. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. Let's go to the first of many challenges, and that is
the episode was called New House, New Rules, and there were 12 contestants, and they were split into 2 fashion houses, okay? And this one was inspired by princesses or villains, and the House of Princesses had I want to give out
our contestants are, by the way, they are Alex Foxworth from Greensboro, Belania Daly from Long Island, Antonio Estrada from Mazatlan, also Jesus Estrada from Mazatlan, if I'm not mistaken. Nope, never mind. Casey Black out of Houston, BJ Floresca from Pasay in the Philippines, Yu Chen Han from Jining, China, Joan Madison from New York City, Madeline Malenfant from Nantucket, Joseph McRae from Charlotte, Ethan Munt from Utica. You better know him as Utica Queen. and Angelo Rosa returning from Providence. So in our first challenge, we have the House of Princesses, Antonio, Melania, Casey, Joan, Joseph, and Madeline against the House of Villains and Alex, Angelo, Ethan, Jesus, VJ, and Yuchen. The challenge was create a collection inspired by either princesses or villains originated from Disney because corporate. The runway is at the United Palace in New York City, where the House of Villains were revealed to be the winning team. The judges announced that Jesus...
Anyway, United Palace is a very brand new restored house in Harlem in New York City, just to let you know.
Ah. Have you ever been there?
No. It's actually restored in the same vein as a theater that my dad used to go to, which was restored about 10 years ago, called the King's Theater in Brooklyn. Ah. It used to be known as the Lowy's Kings. It is now known as the King's Theater in Brooklyn, and a lot of comedians, musicals, concert acts go there now. It's one of the top theaters in Brooklyn.
All right, your top three were Ethan, Jesus, and Yuchen. Ethan wins! At your bottom two out of the House of Princesses were Antonio and Joseph, but Casey later eliminated, coming in 12th place.
Okay.
So let's talk about feeling the burn in episode 2.
Mm-hmm.
They will continue to compete in groups. Ethan, having won the last challenge, gets to swap a designer from a fashion house in the next one. So, Ethan's team, House of Burn, Alex, Angelo, Ethan, Madeline, VJ, and Yuchen, House of Lotus, Antonio, Melania, Jesus, Joan, and Joseph. The challenge here, both houses need to create a cohesive activewear collection. After the runway, House of Lotus were announced as the winners. Melania, Joseph, and Jesus are your top three. Jesus wins the challenge. Your bottom three from House of Burn, Angelo, BJ, and Alex. Alex is eliminated. Your guest judge, special guest in the runway, by the way, is Alicia Scott, while your guest judge is Sarah Foster. With the runway theme being workout to weekend. So, activewear. Yeah.
And next week, our guest judge will be Sofia Vergara. But I have a question for you, because we've had a little bit of... I think the team concept is the sign of desperation, especially when the format for Project Runway really hasn't changed much in 20 years, most part.
For the most part,
so
yeah.
I'm like, why?
Well, you have to consider the time between seasons. I mean, season 20 happened a long time ago.
2 years ago now, almost three.
Yeah, so they needed to do something to put Project Runway back into the public conscience. So what better way than to clone Top Chef? And that's exactly what they did, kind of, sort of. But if you remember...
How did they clone... Okay, how do they clone Top Chef? How do you mean?
With the team format and having the winner... the individual winner coming out of the winning team and the eliminated... a contestant coming out of the losing team. However, I'm looking at the first and the second episode, because, you know, Top Chef likes to switch it around, but they didn't this time. Project Runway, the way they did the whole, Ethan, you can trade one contestant for another, kind of reminds me of the corporate reshuffling twist on early seasons of The Apprentice, if you remember that far back.
A corporate reshuffling on what?
The Apprentice.
Okay.
So they're basically taking whatever team twists, and you know, only two episodes to judge here, but they're taking whatever team format seems to work best, and they're working it into the Project Runway mold. Now, it is working, as you know, Ethan, because he is the winner, he gets to choose the best of his opponents and incorporate that into his team. So, in a way, it works. It may read as desperate, but it works.
Okay. You may see it works.
Now, there's going to come a moment where that will be unfeasible, and I'm kind of curious as to how they're going to address that. What say you, Jay?
I don't know. We'll see.
What I do like is that Freeform, who is airing Project Runway now, is taking the path took by Dancing with the Stars and airing it in tandem with Hulu and Disney Plus, and we'll talk about those two later.
Well, we need to talk about this, and we still haven't got anybody. We had a couple of, $32,000 donations on Millionaire. But our good friend Joel McHale decides to... good friend, Joel. He's playing for Active Cultures, and Jim Rash, I believe his friend, is playing for GLAAD. He goes straight to 32, straight to 64, okay?
Right. And then he goes to 125,000, which, if you ask me, is basically Trivia 101. I took a picture of this. I showed it to Jay. I was like, this is a Jason Block question? Jason Block question, of course, being the $125,000 question. The question reads, yes. In December 2012, the music video for what song became the first YouTube video to reach 1 billion views? Never Gonna Give You Up, Bohemian Rhapsody, Harlem Shake, or Gangnam Style? Now, I say this is Trivia 101 because if you are a player of Quiztopia, this question, or a question very similar to it, appeared last week. And if you're a fan of Limitless Win, which is on Prime Video right now, a question like this appeared on a 2024 episode. I believe they have 4 seasons.
And is this a $125,000 question? Probably not. But they get it, and it's Gangnam Style. And
They still have three lifelines, if I'm not mistaken.
So here's the $500,000 question. According to the New York Times, what was the hardest to solve answer in 2024 in Wordle, breaking 5.6 million streaks? Owl, B-O-U-G-H, Ali, Owala, or Korer?
Jolly and Koala seem a little too sort of esoteric, so I would eliminate those. Bao and Korer seem almost deceptively easy. So, if it were me, I would just pick the easier of the two, and that would be Korer. Now, they use their final lifeline. If I'm not mistaken, that's the Aska
host.
I believe that is the Aska host.
Oh no, they used all three. They used the phone a friend 50-50 and asked the audience in the Bally question. They ask the host. The host says Koala, but they bail and get $250,000 to split between their two charities.
And the correct answer was Korer. So I would have gotten $1 million question.
Well, let's see how Tramell Tillman and Zach Cherry do. They play for the 52nd Street Project and Harlem Grown. They get through first 9 without using a lifeline, but here's what happens on the 10th one. On the website What Medicine has a video of a cheerful woman explaining why your tongue and poop appear black after taking it. Pepto-Bismol, Dramamine, Claritin, and NyQuil.
Now,
I
know this because I read the label taking it as a child.
I have a question. Why, if you're drinking pink liquid, your poop going to be black?
It's a
scientist?
Yeah, it's a basically some chemistry junk where bismuth bonds with the wastes in your poop. And bottom line is chemistry junk. A whole lot of chemistry junk.
Okay. They pick NyQuil. Why? It's Pepto-Bismol, but they get $32,000 to split between their child. So, meh.
Meh, indeed.
Let's talk about Press Your Luck this past week. What happened?
All right, Press Your Luck. Terry, Harry, and Taylor are finding themselves under a barrage of a whole lot of whammies. Let's go to the big board as Harry hits the superhero whammy and then picks up $6,000. Taylor gives birth to a whammy, gets Vietnam, a bowling whammy, move one space to 3,500 and a spin, 4,750 and 3,750, passing the spin to Terry, who wins 8,000 and a spin off of it, then gets a whammy, then gets $13,000 before passing it back to Taylor. And then we have a trip to Portugal and an emerald ring to win a total of $16,219. Now Taylor, who, by the way, is playing for 2, she is quite pregnant in this game. Round 1. Diapers and a whale shark dive. Alright. She hits a whammy. And then diapers and $10,000 for a total of $28,568. Now we have a baby's backyard in round 2. $15,000 batteries. She goes up to $45,568. Now, granny's on the go. You know what that is?
A pair of 2025 SUVs, which are gorgeous.
2 Audi Q5 SUVs. She hits 4,000. Another whammy. And then picks the 9,000 or lose a whammy, picks lose a whammy. And this is the first time I've seen the lose a whammy being used. I hear the whammy go, no! And I think it's just absolute chef's kiss there. Next is a dream wedding at the Addison of Boca Raton and an Italian honeymoon in level 4. 2 whammies and $8,500. So she goes into the Big Bucks Bonanza with 3 spins, $8,500, and 3 whammies. Her first spin. Happy retirement.
Out.
So there you go.
She out.
But she does.
So she leaves with a trip to Portugal and an emerald ring worth $16,219.
And she also has
congratulations.
She also has $7,250 in cash. So that'll go towards the baby's college education, I think.
So that's books, dude.
Fine.
Right, but let's do this. Because last week we talked about Jeopardy. we need to talk about their sister show with... We're doing five good questions, and I have question number one. Ryan Seacrest had a monster first year as host. What does he need to do better?
I don't think Ryan needs to do much in order to be better. We saw that Ryan just picked up the game so quickly and was able to host so flawlessly. Remember, Ryan Seacrest is a professional. He's been doing this his entire life. He knows.
He came out of the womb hosting.
There you go. So I don't think he needs to do much. What do you think he needs to do?
Well, I mean, I actually don't think he needs to do much either, because his energy is so different than Pat Sajak's energy. Okay? And by the way, I don't think we will see him next year.
You don't think we'll see that? Okay, well that takes care of Q2.
No. Go ahead. Take Q2. It's just my opinion. Let's hear Q2.
Okay. I was joking. That was not my Q2. My question two is, with the new host, we also have new twists on a format. Do you see that continuing into Ryan's second season?
I do, because remember, you had the 50K thing all year. You have the Fan Fridays. I mean, which actually you kind of stole thing. You have different puzzles. You have different themes. I think we're going to continue that sort of evolving, you know, put it to you this way, slowly changing, but changing, if you understand what I mean.
I understand exactly what you mean. Like I've always said, this is basically, it's a natural morph, it's a natural evolution, so that the format remains fresh for generations to come.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, here is my question three, okay? I still believe that the home interactivity when it comes to winning is still underwhelming when it comes to Wheel of Fortune. Outside of what they do now, what do they have to do better? Because the spin ID is way underused as a winning format.
Yeah, remember when the spin ID was very important to everything? I think they need to go back to that. Like, make the prize puzzle another win-at-home sort of situation. Of course, the economics of TV being what they are today, that's slim to none chance of that happening again. But still, it's an idea worth revisiting.
What I think, because remember, okay, put it to you this way. If you gave away $10,000 a day, right?
Right.
With your spin ID on the mystery prize, forget the trip, right?
Right.
Okay? It's only $2 million right there as your promotion budget. Okay?
Right.
And again, that's cash. Remember, cars, I don't know how many their car wins there were this year. There weren't that many.
Big ups to Andy Wynn of andynwof.wordpress.com for this info. But of the 195 shows with the bonus round,
right,
25 were played for a car. Of the
how many were won?
Of the 25 that were played for a car, 9 were won.
So you had 9 cars given away out of 195, so that's about 5% even.
Pretty much, yeah.
You're going 9 out of 195?
Yeah. So there's
I don't know. Do you ever think they would do cash only in the bonus round?
I think they save, like, cars for really special ones. because they've been doing 40K, 50K, 70K, 75, 100, and assorted bonuses sprinkled throughout. Like, there's also been trips and expeditions, and let's not forget the LG bonus from the first week. So they've been doing a lot with the bonus round. I think if they do a lot with the bonus round in season 43, they will keep that hook, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
Okay. You don't mind if I give question four, okay?
Is it about Celebrity Wheel of Fortune?
Bet you're behind it is. Hit it. With Ryan Seacrest now taking over Celebrity Wheel of Fortune, I have a two-parter. A, how's he gonna do? And B, you think he'll attract anybody bigger than what we got?
I don't know. I think it's hard to attract celebrities who have not been on any other game shows. I mean, I think we've seen a couple of repeaters this past season. But I do think that the Ryan Seacrest effect from early access will spill into the Friday night slot, and we're going to see a lot of people that we haven't seen before on this or any other show spin the wheel for big money for charity, I think.
But I think it's going to be a different vibe. I really do. I think it's going to be a really...
I hope you weren't going for the pun there.
No,
that's fine.
Not at all. And finally,
Last season, Wheel of Fortune averaged 7.93 million, posting a 4.6 rating as the second most popular show in syndication. That was a raise of 1% from the previous year. This season, Wheel of Fortune will average...
4.7, it goes up again. Not 1%. I think that people are very happy with the Ryan Seacrest era, and they want to see how season 2 goes.
Yeah, the last two seasons have been quite the anomaly, with Pat announcing, hey, this is going to be my last season, and then Ryan Seacrest is slipping in, and it just seems like absolutely nothing has changed. I think it continues its upward trajectory, and I think 4.7 is the right grade, or the right rating, for 2025-26, season 43. So, yeah. There you go.
Okay. So, where are we going with our questions next week?
Next week, we are going to continue our split between syndication and primetime with Celebrity Family Feud.
See, how are we going the Price is Right?
We could.
But it says in our pre-production meeting.
Hold on, let me double check here. I did change it, didn't I? Okay, 3, 2, 1. Next week, we are continuing our daytime primetime split with The Price is Right.
We will be covering both daytime and the nighttime versions.
Yep, and let's just say we have a whole lot to talk about. But right now, we have to finish this on a sad note, and a legend of the small screen, also a legend of the game show sort of ilk. Lonnie Anderson, talented actress, was on WKRP in Cincinnati, also a semi-regular on Match Game. And, of course, win, lose, or draw, being married to the creator/executive producer, that'll do something for you. because she was married to Burt Reynolds at that time, and
he was the one who produced it, right?
Yeah. So yeah, she was on episodes of Win, Lose, or Draw, Match Game, Hollywood Squares, Celebrity Family Feud, and Third Degree. Probably as a favor to a friend, Burt Convy, because that was the last show he ever hosted.
And there's a little drama about that, but that's another thing. But Bonnie Anderson, I think what I loved about her is that she took away the dumb blonde stereotype and made it her own, if you understand what I mean.
I understand perfectly what you mean. She looked like a blonde bombshell, but she was way smarter than anybody ever gave her credit for. And so were her characters. I mean, you see Jennifer Marlowe, who always had a comeback for whoever, whatever, and she was not above using her feminine wiles to get what she wants, and also to protect those she cares about. And I think that sort of played to other roles and also played to her real life drama.
Indeed.
And it seems like she needed a whole lot of that, because back in the 80s, her relationship, you want to talk about drama?
There was a lot of drama, but you know what? That's really not worth it here. We were just talking about her game show stuff.
Indeed.
So, moment of silence, please.
Thank you. All right, still to come, we promised 44 acts. We're going to give you 44 acts. Which ones do we think are going to win the series, and which one is going to be forgotten before you can say Leonid the Magnificent? But first, it's all the news you didn't even know you needed to know, with somebody taking a bad idea and making it worse. With Jason Block, I'm Chico Alexander, sick of staying with 5-1, your home, where we love to interrupt. You give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 vote changes that people want back. And you know what? I think we're just going to go to break, because I don't think we want to go there, do we?
No! No, we don't!
Yes, we'll be right back.
One in four of us will be affected by mental illness at some point in our lives. Yet nearly two-thirds of us will never seek help, especially men. We pride ourselves on courage and our ability to never show weakness. But mental health touches us all. We are athletes, actors, and musicians. We are friends, husbands, and fathers. It's one of us. It's one of you. It's time for men to talk about mental health. Help starts with the conversation. End the stigma. To learn more about our stories, visit bringchangethemind.org.
WLTI has been brought to you by the Big Brother Secure Voting Machines. Yes, it's the machine that does not allow you to change things no matter how hard you try. You can press a button. You can break it. You could just scream at it going, I want to change! I want to change! It's the Big Brother Voting Machine. But once, not often.
But you do not hog the Krispy Kremes. And oh wait, we've already
done that.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, but if I may.
If you may.
Roll that beautiful brain footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, you can follow Doug Morris on all social media, Doug Morris Games at Rock 104 Rock Tracks and at Tracks Productions. And don't forget to listen to Doug Morris every Sunday as he hosts Rock Tracks with Doug Morris from high atop his palatial estate in the Pine Belt. That is Rock Tracks with Doug Morris every Sunday afternoon on Rock 104 WXRR Hattiesburg 104.5 on your FM dial and all over the nose.
Multiverse.
On rock104fm.com, the Odyssey app, and the Rock 104 app.
Guitar is actually shaped like one of those hooks that you see. A certain obstacle course.
It's business. It's business time.
I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time.
Ooh. It's business.
So the Las Vegas finals have just started on American Ninja Warrior. And before they start, we get news that Ninja Warrior will be back in the summer of 2026. That's the good news. The bad news.
Bad news.
Okay, the race format will continue, and not only is it continuing, it's expanding.
What do you mean by that?
Instead of double lanes, side-by-side races, we're having triple lanes with head-to-head-to-head races.
Okay.
Yeah, season 18 will continue with the action-packed all-racing format for the national finals introduced in this season, where the winner takes home a grand prize of $250,000. You're just taking all the fun out of it, guys. It's like you're getting...
So the prize is going down to $250,000?
Prize is staying at $250,000. Remember, before this year, it would be $1 million for anybody who could complete the course and $100,000 for last one standing.
Well, I really still think the format's long in the tooth, but congratulations. Gordon emailed me the date book.
And what an email it is.
On Friday, it's last Cowboy Standing, the season finale on Fox Nation. Next Tuesday is Chef Grudge Match, the premiere on Food Network. The Ultimate Fighter, Team Cormier versus Team Sonnen, ESPN2 and ESPN+. And Final Draft, the premiere on Netflix. Wednesday, Love is Blind UK, season premiere on Netflix. And Who Wants to Be a Millionaire has Adam Devine and Anders Holm and Helen Hunt and Dan Bucatini. And Match Game, Let's Match the Stars. They are Devine, Joy Randolph, Caroline Ray, Constance Zimmer, Adam Pally, Bambini Feldstone, and Joel Kim Booster. By the way, a little side comment here. Man, Match Game's writing has been terrible this year.
Yeah.
Really horrible.
It's like, okay, the panelists have been really good, but at the same time, they can only work with what they work with.
And Martin Short. Martin Short actually could get the nominee for Worst New Host of the Year, really.
By the way, it's Bucatinski, not Bucatini. Although I do want some Bucatini.
Wow.
Although I do want some Bucatini right now.
And then Thursday is Celebrity Family Feud, Harlem Globetrotters versus the Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders. Yum. And the Bridget Everett family versus the Vanessa Beyer family. And the season finale of Press Your Luck. I'm assuming it's going to come back for season 7, yes?
I don't see where ABC doesn't bring it back for season 7. I mean, they will do it as long as Elizabeth wants to do it. And if she wins the Emmy this year, you bet your sweet Bippy they're going to bring it back.
And let's talk about Dad App, though, with a little bit of a NAWC crossover. Puerto Chico. You have all the tech news here.
I do. Box One, which is basically the all-in-one app for all things Fox, except for Fox Nation for some reason, has set a launch date for August 21st. You can have it for $19.99 a month, or if you really want a party, if you're really making that F money, $199.99 per annum. So again, it's all of the local stations, the network, Big Ten, Fox News, Fox Weather, Fox Business, Fox Sports, FS1, FS2, Fox Deportes, but not Fox Nation. That is bundled, and I believe the price for
is
that
it
will
still going to be on the cable platforms.
I believe so.
Okay, now ESPN service is debuting in about 10 days, right? Thereabouts?
Right, around the same time as Fox's service.
Right. Now that is going to be $29.99 a year. Now, why did I say there's an NAWC crossover? Did you hear this news today?
I believe I did.
Well, I believe it was yesterday.
It was yesterday. ESPN announced that they were basically sniping all of the WWE content from Peacock.
No, not necessarily true. They are covering their premium live events, a.k.a. pay-per-views. Getting 10 pay-per-views if you sign up to ESPN's service. You will get the pay-per-views, the big ones. However, if you have the following five services, you can access the PLEs because you already subscribed to ESPN. They are Hulu Live, DirecTV, Charter, Fubo TV, and my service, Verizon Fios.
Yeah, I am also subscribed to Charter, aka Spectrum, so I'm good to go there.
You wanted to watch the pay-per-views for free? You could.
Nice!
Okay, so, but speaking of Hulu Live, not Hulu Live, but the Hulu is sort of amorphousing, or what are they
it's
doing?
What they're doing is, in 2026, Disney is phasing out the Hulu app and integrating it fully into Disney Plus.
Okay, so I have Disney Plus, I have the bundle, so.
I also have the bundle. So yeah, you could do, they're still going to do separate sort of subscription plans for each, or if you're like us and you have the bundle, you could do that. But all of that is coming to pass in 2026. The Hulu app is on borrowed time.
Yes, indeed. But that is absolutely smart, what they're doing to try and get more money. This, not so much.
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
That's dumb.
You're so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
All right.
Now, Ashley, you can't change your vote. Sorry.
No, I can't. And I can't change my vote, so Ashley's going to stay there, and we're just going to keep the show moving along, shall we?
Yeah, I'm thirsty.
Paint a red!
Kelly Collins from Project Runway, season 5, I believe.
Yes.
Is going scorched earth on the franchise and on Andy Cohen.
I have this from Reality T. You're not going to believe this one. Howza, okay?
Go ahead.
She was on, she posted this about a week ago on her Instagram page. In the initial video, she called out the show for treating contestants poorly, comparing their working conditions to a sweatshop. And then she complained about how designers from her era of the show got thrown under the bus when the Weinstein Company folded and caused Project Runway to be acquired by Bravo. I did not sign on at 24 years old to streaming network selling my season 200 times for over 200 million. That wasn't a thing back then, and it just seemed so wrong. Okay. She also did a video two days later, she basically called Andy Cohen a nightmare producer, and she said, quote, he was disgusting, horrible, worse, predator with the gaze, hopping around the site on the set like, hey, twinks, Kenley recalled. Okay. And she also claimed that Andy, and again, this is a claim, not remember, allegedly, right?
That's a secret word.
Yeah. Well, after propositioning designers to have a threesome, and she said, she called him, we called you the gay Weinstein, acting like a clown on the set, okay? And then, she also referenced the ongoing court cases that called out Andy Cohen's behavior, fending off claims from housewife Leah McSweeney, okay? And she goes, NBC can pay you all the money in the world to cover your ass after NeNe Leakes spoke the truth about you. You're a racist predator. You're finished. Damn!
Tell us how you really feel there, Kedley.
Well, again, remember a couple of years ago, who was the one of the Real Housewives, I forget who, talking about a union for reality stars?
Bethany Frankel. It was Bethany Frankel.
That's right. Again, cracks in the wall could start the flood. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
She's not wrong. Because remember, I mean, look, did they sign the contract? Yes. If you remember, all the bigger contracts, like SAG-AFTRA, got adjusted for streaming, didn't they?
They did. This was way after Kenley's time.
Maybe Kenley will get a check? I don't know. But where are we sending her and Ashley?
Let's send them to Korea, shall we?
Let's go. Been around the world and I can't find
my baby. Okay, so Netflix has a show coming out called K-Popped, where we see K-pop bands remixing with Western bands. And I have the lineups here. All right, the lineups are, on the K-pop side, we have Billy, ITZY, Kepler, Joy, ATEEZ, Stacy, Kiss of Life, and Black Swan. But on the Western side, we have Megan Thee Stallion, Patti LaBelle, Mel B, and Emma Button of the Spice Girls, Vanilla Ice, Taylor Dane, Kesha, Eve, J Balvin, Kylie Minogue, TLC, Boy George, Jess Glynn, Ava Max, and Boys to Men. These legendary and rising artists will trade stages and styles across 8 episodes, offering fresh spins on hits like Savage, Wannabe, Ice Ice Baby, Lady Marmalade, Can't Get You Out of My Head, Motown Philly, Waterfalls, and more. I'm not gonna hide it. I'm excited!
Well, I mean, this is, I don't think this is a competition show, per se. Is it?
It is. It's gonna be on Apple TV Plus.
Apple TV Plus on August 29th. You know what? That's cool, and maybe we'll get some more worldwide media pros.
I got pros. In different area codes. Area codes. Pros. In different area
codes. Media Pro Report, Richard Osman shares the one simple trick that broadcasters use to keep budgets in line. That's basically called upping the difficulty on the bonuses. We've seen it done on Wheel of Fortune numerous times. Jeff Probst says he does not want to be cast on The White Lotus, no matter what Mike White thinks. Survivor's Kara Kay, expecting a little tribesmate. Congratulations to her. Scott Riccardi throws the first pitch for the Somerset Patriots, and oh God, we have so much to say about that. The Vivienne story gets the documentary treatment on the BBC. Kelly Clarkson's ex-husband dies. Brandon Blackstock. So sorry to hear about that.
So that's why she missed a time during the spring. That's probably the reason why. I guess she didn't want to say anything till it got real close.
Yeah. Joel McHale hijacks the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, forcing Jimmy to explain the 50-50 in full. We have the lineup for the next season of Special Forces, which is Cody Brown from Sister Wives, Brittany Cartwright, no idea who she is, Randall Cobb, NFL Pro Bowler, former NFL player Eric Decker, his wife Jesse James Decker, former NFL player Andrew East, his wife Sean Johnson East, internet personality Mark Estes, Gia Giudice, Teresa Giudice, Chanel Iman, Brianna LaPaglia, Johnny Football himself, Johnny Manziel, Ava Marcel, Ravi V. Patel, Pierce Rampone, Jesse Smollett.
Are you kidding?
I am not kidding.
Jesse Smollett. Well, okay, I've got so many lines, but I'm keeping my mouth shut. Go ahead.
And NBA champion Nick Young. As we say, the road to redemption does not lead through TMZ. It leads through reality television.
Oh, and by the way, speaking of reality television, we have gotten sort of silhouette clues as to the Big Brother teams that have filmed The Amazing Race, which is going to debut in about a month or two.
Ooh, that's going to be interesting. We did say goodbye to Alfie Wise of Trauma Center and Cannonball Run. In game shows, he showed up as a panelist on Match Game and 1 week of the Match Game Hollywood Squares Hour. Can't forget that. Gary Lineker will return to television as the host of a celebrity game show on ITV called The Box. Richard Osman, oh, there's that name again, calls Red or Black an expensive car crash. Daisy May Cooper is out, and Sophie Willen is in on Nevermind the Buzzcocks. Kelly Collins slams project, we talked about that, never mind. Jelly Roll, Keith Urban, Dan and Shay, and Jamie Foxx will join Stand Up to Cancer 2025 on August 15th. Shane Powers says he lost the right to play Survivor. No idea how one does that.
But speaking of Survivors, there's a lot of smoke to the rumor that Deal or No Deal Island Season 2 winner and Australian Survivor winner is going to become the new host of Survivor.
I would love to see that. I would love to see that. Shay Coulee has officially reacted to the drama regarding her ex-manager. And Mark Labette is in Celebs Go Dating. Elizabeth Hurley rests in peace and adds for The Inheritance, which is a pretty surreal thing to see. And if you are in the mood to play a little Password, they're casting for Season 3.
I've already applied, but I haven't heard anything.
Well, we'll see if you indeed hear anything, but none of them is your Pro of the Week. And our Pro... Go ahead.
Didn't you say he's a friend of the site, friend of ours? Or?
Yes, he is. Guy by the name of Jay Ree. Now, that name sounds familiar. It's because he was a Jeopardy champion and a big Jeopardy champion, to be sure. But he appeared this week on the 1% Club and was the only one to take on the 1% question. I have it right here. Consider the words tease, T-E-A-S, shout, S-H-O-U-T, and stew, S-T-E-W. The question. You'll come out on top if you know what is the last word in this sequence.
Thorn. Thanks to our good friend Gordon Pepper on this one. Want to know why?
Why?
Because they're directions. Anagrams of directions. Tease is east. Shout is south. Stew is West Thorn is north. Did Jay know it?
Jay did not know it. He put down a bunch of letters that did not spell out to anything, so unfortunately, he goes home with nothing.
That sucks.
Oh, sorry for you, man. Sorry for you.
But you know what? That's kind of cool.
And those are your pros. And that.
And it is Brain Vision, and I'm going to hit the button right about here.
Okay, 44 people are being, 44 acts are competing to be the next big thing in talent. We're going to go through all of them to see who has the best chance in our annual AGT tier list. America's Got Tier Lists, I think we should call it, but whatever. And we will have that right after this here on We Love to Interrupt. We'll be right back. Hey, editing Chico here. Following segment of this week's show was taped separate from the other two segments. First two were taped on Thursday. This one was just done on Sunday. Enjoy! WLTI is presented by Hats by Dennis. If you need a lifeline fulfilled and you want to look your best, your sharpest, your swankiest doing it, talk to Dennis. He's got the best hats. Especially the one with the LED that says Final Answer on it. That's the... Yo, if Jordan Honan was here, he'd say, yo, that's dope. That is Hats by Dennis. Tell him the WLTI guy sent you.
And look! Look who showed up! Hey, G, welcome back. You're still on the road making money for the company, aren't you?
I just left Battle Bowl. Coming back home. The usual fun, awesomeness, exciting moments, great competition, drama, shenanigans, tomfoolery, and everything that could happen in 4 days of Boyo.
Oh, great.
Yeah, hashtag team no sleep, right?
What is this thing called sleep?
Gotcha. Well, what we do have right now...
I averaged getting home, by the way, to my hotel room. The average was between 5 a.m. and 7 a.m.
Wow.
Wow.
I got sleep last night.
So AGT this week is a 20th anniversary retrospective because there's a very good reason for it. We start the live quarterfinals next week. That would be August 19th, I believe. But we have a list of four groups of 11. And now, if I looked at it correctly, three acts advance.
Yeah, the first one's a golden buzzer straight through to...
No. I'm talking about after this round.
Oh, after this round. Okay.
Because if you look at last season, AGT season 19, okay? Here we go here. What would happen is that you have the quarterfinal one, you'd have you five eliminated... I'm sorry. Five eliminated. Three that advance and one that goes automatically to the golden buzzer. There's a golden buzzer that will send them to the final. So four in each group. Does that make sense?
Well, consider that one of each group will be in the finals automatically. And we won't even have to worry about it.
Yes, exactly. So let me just pull this up one more time. And let me give you, and I'm assuming you guys have watched it more than I have. Because actually, this is the first AGT season in a while where I haven't really watched much.
Well, there wasn't really much to watch. I mean, we've got singers, dancers, crazy people, people who are just there to build social media clout, you know.
And Tom Sandoval.
And Tom Sandoval.
Okay. Speaking of which, in Quarterfinal one, Gordon. We have dance group The Unique Crew, Golden Buzzer, Charity Lockhart, who's a singer, City Limits, who's a vocal trio, Jordan Blue, who also got a singing Golden Buzzer, Lightwire Dance Group, who also got the third Golden Buzzer, three in this group, Loco Pop Familia, a dance group, Phobias, Magic, Shuler King, a comedian, Circa, Maria, an acrobat dance duo, Steve Ray Ladson, who's singing, and Tom Sandoval, and the most extras. Gordon, give me one or two you think are going to move. We'll talk each group. Who's going to move on?
I think Tom Sandoval will move on.
Really?
In other words, he's waiting.
I'm gonna can't believe I'm about to say this, but I'm about to agree with Gordon Pepper here, because here's the thing.
Wait. You and I agree frequently, sir. I don't want to hear that malarkey from you.
No, that is true, but I'm about to tell you why I think Tom Sandoval is going to get the Golden Buzzer straight through to the finals, because corporate hinkiness being what it is. Let's just say that.
Bing, 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 bing.
Wow. Okay.
I'll go with corporate hinkiness for 400, Kevin.
As for the three who I think are going to advance to the semis out of this group, let me just say, you got to have a Lightwire group. You got to have a multimedia group.
Yep.
There's that. You got to have a really good singer. That's Charity Lockhart. And you got to have another really good singer. That's Jordan Blue. And you gotta have
So you think the Golden Buzzers move on?
I think the Golden Buzzers move on, and B Unique Crew joins the Golden Buzzers.
That's five. That's too many.
Oh, my mistake. So yeah, okay. Forget B Unique Crew. That's my four going on.
Gordon, do you agree?
I'll go with Tom Sandoval and the Golden Ticketettes.
They're going to sweep. So in group two, we have Alan Siminoff, magician, Alex Zinger and crew, a dance group, A. Meldick Virgolino, a 10-year-old singer, Benjamin Hightower, who's a singer, Boston Dynamics, who are the robot act, Duo Stardust, one of two Golden Buzzers, Junglissimo, a variety juggling group, the Leo High School Choir, Mama Duke, a rapper, and the Unreal Crew. That sounds like a pretty weak quarterfinal right there.
Yeah, there's not really much to get excited over. I mean, if you were to ask me which two of the Golden Buzzers was going to get a second Golden Buzzer straight through to the finals, I would have to say, simply because it's different and there's no other group like it this year, Duo Stardust. You know, mm-hmm. AKA the two-man Starlight Express.
Right.
So, if you... Yeah, go ahead.
Another person who I think are going to go to the quarterfinals?
No. I do agree with Chico that this group isn't as strong. I think both Golden Buzzers get in. I think the choir gets in. But pay attention to Irvolino. He was, if I remember correctly, he was a 10-year-old kid that did Are You Going My Way, and everybody went nuts. I think he was a cool guy with guitar.
That was the guy.
I think he could win the whole thing. So I definitely think he advances. He may get the Golden Buzzer and go straight to the finals. I definitely think he'll probably be him, the Golden Buzzers, and the choir. That's my thoughts.
All right, so I...
He's got a lot of stuff. He's performed with Buddy Guy and Taj for Rent, by the way. So he's been playing guitar. You're saying he's the one who did the guitar?
Yeah.
Are you going to go my way?
I believe that's him.
I mean, look.
So, back.
Reviewing and editing and research in progress.
Yeah. I did.
Yes, that's right. He did Are You Going to Go My Way? Yeah.
So
yep, you're very good.
He advances without question. He advances as long as he does anything close to what he did.
Okay, so we have Bay Melnick Virgolino, Duo Stardust, Unreal Crew. I still need to add one more. Oh gosh, it's really, you know what? It seems like you have those three, and then you have the rest of them. And I almost want to pick the best of the rest, and I'm picking the best of the rest based on what we have in...
By the way, did you also notice that there's only that Shula King is the only comedian who made the top 44?
I noticed that. That's interesting, to say the least. Especially given that how he...
What I find more interesting is that...
Yes,
Chico.
Especially given that Howie Mandel is such a champion for the comedians.
Well, no, the comedians weren't funny. How's that?
Well, there you go.
Honestly, the comedians have been weak. They've been weak for a while, and I'll just say this. It's going to take a very long time for any sort of comedian to make it to the finals, just because you need a comedian in this day and age, and I'm going to get on my soapbox here a little bit. You need a comedian this day and age to be less generic and more polarizing, and to go after the present day. And maybe that's part of the issue here, but if you're looking for rated G comedy, that's not what we're looking for.
Not this
year. For a little something sharp. And Shula King, as the only comedian, still does not hit that bill, which is why I'm not sure Shula gets out of round one. Next group.
I have not picked my fourth person yet.
Go for it.
Alan Siminoff.
I'll pick the fourth person.
Alan Siminoff.
Is he related to Tom Sandoval?
No.
Yeah, I know he is.
Okay. Group three. Anna Serenina, the crossbow shooter. Austin Brown, the singer. Ben Family Band, the singer. Chris Turner, singing. Earlish and the Chronicles, singing. From India. Jacqueline and Wagner, acrobatics. Jessica Sanchez, we know her. Maceo Harrison, mastermind. The AI magician. And the Masudi brothers, the juggling duo. And Micah Palace, the rapper. Now, here's where I can definitely pick one here. Jessica Sanchez is getting the golden buzzer and going to the finals. That's an easiest, that's an obvious, that's a given. Okay? I also think that Mastermind is like, and Gordon, you'll remember this, Magician X from the Britain's Got Talent. You know what I'm talking about?
I do indeed.
Okay, so I believe Mastermind's going to advance. And I think one of the singers, I don't know which, because there's so many singers in this group, because I think a lot of the vote will be split. So then you might have a dancer or a variety act get in there. But I think it's going to be Sanchez, the Mastermind, and two others who I cannot name right now.
I think you're going to see a split within the singers. I think you're going to see a split between the two rappers, Micah Palace and Chris Turner. That only leaves Jessica Sanchez, the Masudi brothers, Jacqueline and Wagner, Anna Serenina, and Maceo Harrison and Mastermind. That's too many. So I'm going to mark out Anna Serenina. And I'm gonna do something controversial here. I don't think the Masudi brothers get in. So that leaves me Maceo Harrison, Mastermind, Jacqueline and Wagner, and Jessica Sanchez.
I don't completely agree with Chico, but I don't think Masudi brothers not getting in is an upset. Sorry. I think that because of the overwhelming wealth of singers that we have, and they're all right, dog, in terms of the singing. I agree Mastermind gets in without a problem. I think Jessica Sanchez gets in without a problem. She probably gets the golden buzzer. Jacqueline, sure. Tony, sure. I mean, flip a coin on the other two, but I think those are my four.
I didn't realize.
Oh, and by the way, did we discuss who we thought was going to get the golden buzzer? We said Bay Melnick Virgilino. You think is going to get the golden buzzer going?
I do.
Okay. So the last group, the last 11, are Astrid Jorgensen, who is a choir instructor, the Birmingham Youth Choir, who I believe Terry gave the golden buzzer to. I believe.
Correct.
Chuck Adams, singer-songwriter. It's Cole Swenson and Judy, the cellist. Crash Adams, the singer. Gendai, a laser act. Team Recycled, the Boykins, the Funketeer Dancers, who are, you know, old people. The TT Boys from Ethiopia, and Zach Mears. Again, this is a tough one. Well, actually not. I think Birmingham Youth Choir gets the golden buzzer going in. I think that the Boykins and the Funketeer Dancers get through. And the fourth one, since we haven't had an acrobatic back, TT Boys.
All right.
This is a guess.
Okay. I think Birmingham Youth Choir, because that was Simon's golden buzzer, no problem getting through there. The Boykins, because that's Terry's golden buzzer, no problem there. Oh, that just leaves two more. And it looks like we have acrobats and dancers. They're probably going to end up splitting the vote, which leaves Crash Adams, Astrid Jorgensen, Chuck Adams, Gendai, Cole Swenson, and Zach Mears. Zach Mears being the only magician, he gets through. And that just leaves for me. I'm going to agree with Jason with TT Boys.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you guys for a different reason, which is these are the only style of acts that you've said aren't in. TT Boys definitely for acrobatics, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You got magic, you got acrobatics. Yeah, you've got a dancing group, and then fine, we'll pick the one singer.
Right, because we're going to get a singer winning this year, without question.
I agree with you, and I will tell you which singer it is. Jessica Sanchez.
Mm-hmm. Because I think we have not had, and looking it back, okay, we have not, the last two straight up singers to win America's Got Talent are Cody Lee in season 14 and Grace VanderWaal in season 11. Okay.
I would not call Cody Lee a straight up singer, so I will say Grace VanderWaal will be the last person.
Okay.
Cody Lee is a piano player as well as a singer, and he's a genre specialist on that. I would not consider him a straight singer. Not if he plays his own instrument.
All right.
Well, then Grace VanderWaal is not a straight singer because she's a musical artist.
Okay, I'll agree with you then. Let's go backwards then.
Then Paul Zernin, Kenichi Ibina, Owate Dogs, Landau, Eugene Murphy Jr., Michael Grimm.
I would say Landau, Eugene Murphy Jr. Because he was a crooner.
Okay.
He was the Frank Sinatra crooner style.
Right,
so I'll go
okay.
with him as the last pure singer.
Pure singer, yes, because Jessica Sanchez is a pure singer. She's not an instrumentalist. Correct?
Agreed. Yep.
So, yeah, we have
so
not
you know what I'm saying? So I would say she would be your best chance to do that. I'm going to go with Herbalito, which is not a pure singer because he's got a guitar. But I'll go with him in a win.
Herbalito, yeah, okay. I mean, I'm going to go with Jessica Sanchez, but again, it all depends on performance and voting. And
yep.
That's why we play the game.
And we will find out on NBC and Peacock starting August 19th. But for now, we've got a speed round to finish up, and we will do that right after this here at 5-1. This is WLTI. We'll be right back.
Let's go.
BLTI has been brought to you by the Last Great Moose. That's right, it's man versus moose, because we've had man versus other animals. And besides, most of us will be moving to Canada anyway in a few short months. So let's get to know Canada up close and personal. That is man versus moose. You got your Yukon. Bring on.
Okay. Anyways.
Moose.
On that
I love you,
note,
Jay.
I know you do. on that note, let's start a speed round.
I love you, Jay. Hey. J-A.
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 Let's start a speed round now. Since we are recording this part later on in the weekend, we have found out that Ava has won head of household. Keanu, Vince, and Zach are your nominees. Catherine has the power of veto. A, does she use it? And B, who goes home?
Okay, now if she was smart, she would use the veto on who are the three nominees that you said?
Keanu, Vince, and Zach.
If she was smart, she'd use the veto to save Zach, and then Ava would put up Rachel. If she was smart. We know she's a little bit Lulu, so...
She's not going to do nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this is... I think if she does use it, I agree, the smart move is to backdoor Rachel. Why you did not do this earlier in the game, who knows? That's how you get rid of Rachel. You have to backdoor and hope she does not win the block. But that's what you do. And I think Zach wondering, why the hell am I up there? That's because you're not the target and you're going to be leaving it in terms of being a
vote. Right, exactly.
If you're smart. But we're not necessarily smart. We're sheep.
Okay, Gordon, you weren't here. Project Runway, the new team format. What do you think?
I like it. It does cause drama and dynamics. But the other thing that I like it, which is sort of makes it different from the other team formats, is that you're not designing one suit in a duo. Everybody has got their own suit that they're in a team. So I like that a little bit more. What I love is all the snarky subtitles. That's friggin' awesome.
Snarky subtitles?
On that... Watch Project Runway and see when they're chatting all the snark that comes out.
Okay. Okay.
Maybe you haven't been paying attention when you have been watching it, but watch it. By the way, I think Ethan is in a world of trouble.
Okay. Quick question, though. You don't... Sorry. Chico talked about the fact he called it more Top Chef-ish with the way they are doing things. Do you agree with that?
Excuse me. I do, and I don't have a problem with it.
Okay.
It's definitely Top Chef. I definitely think it's Top Chef-ish, where, yes, you're on a team, but everybody has enough rope to hang themselves, and also to not be caught in the interactions of other people if they don't need to be. So okay. I do like how they're doing this.
Okay. Pico, do you have anything else?
Press Your Luck season finale this Thursday. Nobody's winning $1 million again.
Well, we will talk about it next week, but someone got close. Someone got real close.
Oh, but yes, we'll talk about that on the next show. Do we have any mail? No, I guess we don't have any mail. Nobody's celebrating anything. Nobody's going to send us an email. But if you want to send us some mail, our address is WLTI@GameShowNewsNet.com, or you can follow us on all social media at GameShowNewsNet. I am at Dino R. Alexander.
I am at Beat the Block with the number 2 on it.
And I am at GSN and Hatery.
And the network is at 5N1Net, where we talk about anything and everything going on network-wide, including a Hall of Fame week on the BS Big Show, where we talk about everything going on in the Hall of Fame week, plus a bunch of people getting paid, a bunch of people getting in trouble, and everything that happened so far this summer.
So, Chico, BS is going to come back this week or next week?
I believe it's going to be next week. We are still looking for participants in the upcoming season of the Williams League. So if you're listening and you are interested drop us a line, won't you?
Yes, wouldn't you? Over at the NAWC, we covered SummerSlam. We covered the Road to Clash in Paris. And we covered the big deal, and I mean legit big deal, of ESPN now having the rights to the PLEs / pay-per-views for starting in January 2026 with the Saudi Arabian Royal Rumble. That's Rob the Cash Cow. He's fat as
sure is.
Yes. But if you have Hulu Live, Fubo TV, Verizon Fios, Charter, or DirecTV, you have access to the pay-per-views without streaming an extra $30 a month. What do you have, if I may ask?
I have Spectrum. I am a Spectrum.
Which is Charter.
Yeah.
Which is Charter.
Right.
What about you? What about you? You still have Optimum? Or do you have something else?
I have Spectrum, so that means I get ESPN and all their free goodies.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So and of course, all wrestling news that happened over the last 7 days. Chico, what about it was a thing?
It was a thing. We had to take a week off due to real life lifing, but we have a few episodes in the pike for a Squared Circle Time Machine, which this week features WCW Clash of Champions 28 from 1995. And we get back into it with a best of with Blind Justice and two new episodes, Baby Talk from 1990 and Quark from 1978.
I remember both of those. Don't hate me.
I'm not going to hate you.
And Gordon, you just talked about it. Battle Ball. The Hitmen are champs, right? If I'm not mistaken?
Wrong, sir. Wrong. Oh, Hitmen are not champs. Outrage are the champions. But not without a whole bunch of controversy to go with it. We have a new world champion, which is Jason Redd. We have all sorts of newness that's happened. Oh, by the way, regular season starts in a couple weeks.
Are all the new teams put together or not yet?
The new district, yes. That's where we're going to start updating the site and doing all that. District previews, all sorts of fun stuff. Battle Bowl's over. New season starts again. After the season that we have, the release season is also done. This is when you can release yourselves. That ends right after Battle Bowl. You got one more week to figure out where you're going. And then we'll sort of have a better vision of who is where. And then we'll start making some decisions. What teams are going to be favorite? What teams are going to be severely weakened? We'll find out.
And of course, ubatoday.info for all your Underground Bowling Association needs. Oh, and by the way, again, a special thank you to Harvey Silkovitz for being on our last show. It was a great interview.
Thank you, Harvey.
We love you.
You know, hope you're continuing to do well and hope you're continuing to practice because Jeopardy Season 42 has just started taping, if I saw my social media correct.
Well, that's because I'm subscribed to the Substack, and the Substack has all the info, you see.
Ah.
Yes. But, so, Chico, what is happening next week?
Well, next week, we're going to be on the air on a Wednesday, because your boy is going to SporkleCon for the weekend. That's next weekend. Yes, I'm once again rubbing shoulders with the Quiz World Elite, and myself for some reason. It's going to be me, Kiesla, and four other people as a team against at least 100 other teams for the right to be called America's Best Quiz Team. So that's going to be something that's happening. But on this show, we're going to talk about Big Brother, Project Runway, America's Got Talent. Well, actually, no, because they're doing the clip show sort of thing. But we are going to be talking about somebody who got really, really close to $1 million on Press Your Luck. We're going to go over everything that happened in that special hour. But until then, my friends, for Gordon Pepper, for Jason Block, for everybody at 5-1, my name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. Game over. And spread the love.
See ya.
Interrupt this program.